Thankful for the Lord's blessings to me. Thankful for the songs and testimonies this morning. Appreciate the Lord's blessings to all of us. I'm so thankful for His goodness to us. I feel like the Lord has given me a message for today that is, it seems like it's real. It's flowed well in my mind, so I trust the Lord will help us be able to share it that way. Sometimes things don't seem to connect as well as I'd like for it to, but the subject I want to talk to you today about is purpose. And I have some quotes I want to share with you from others. And I have, obviously, some comments myself. But I'd like to begin by saying that an honorable purpose sets the stage for success. If you don't have an honorable purpose, success is not in the future for you. A lack of purpose is asking for disaster. If you don't have a purpose, then you're asking for disaster. I read something. I have not read this whole book, but I read a portion of a book. I was actually searching for a cliche, you know what that is. And I run across this little passage out of a book, and I'm going to read you what, just a couple little sentences here, two or three, that was in a book that I found. There's a cliche which says that an idle mind is the devil's workshop. This is also true of idle hands. When both minds and hands are idle, we place ourselves in double jeopardy. If we are genuinely concerned with gaining the victory in this great controversy, we will use every hour to the best advantage. Otherwise, we may be sure that Satan will use them to his advantage. That's his business. He is never more successful than when he comes to men with idle hours. The devil is always more successful when he comes to someone that is twiddling their thumbs. He tempts us all. It was said in Sunday school, it seems like life is just one big trial. Well, I understand. I can relate to that. There's disappointments. There's rejection. There's tests and tribulations and troubles all around us. But I'm going to tell you, if you've got a purpose and this thing comes against you and you have a purpose and an objective, an honorable one, a godly one, you can see yourself through it. But when all of these things start coming and crowding in and you don't have a purpose, you're much, much more susceptible to fall prey to the devices, the enemy. The devil is much more successful when he comes to men in their idle hours. When you're not engaged in something, when someone is not depending on you to finish your task, he's much more susceptible to that. Many unfortunate circumstances and destructive habits have been initiated during those times that we have, that we don't have a purpose. So I'd like to say to us this morning, if you don't feel like that you have a real purpose in my life, in your life, my advice is to get one. Get one. Get you a purpose. Don't begin with trying to start it with some big elaborate purpose that you're going to do something that will impress the world. Most generally, that's going to leave you high-centered somewheres. You know, developing purpose is like beginning anything else. If you start out and you realize, if you're today, if you really assess who you are, where you're going, and what's happening in your life, and you realize, I don't really have purpose in my life. I don't have a purpose that I'm focused on. I want to tell you, be careful about developing a purpose. And I would like for us to pay attention with the help of the Lord as we try to develop the thought this morning. It's so easy for us to set ourselves up for disappointment when we say, well, my purpose is, and it's something that's up there quite a ways. All right? But we begin anything with small steps. We see the little children as they're growing and developing. And it's really exciting to me to see them beginning to crawl and beginning to walk. And you can tell that they're not quite sure, but they want to. And they're taking one step after. And then when they begin to talk to us and they begin to express the things that's going on in their minds. And I can remember seeing my children and the children that have been in our home when they were really small. And when something come in their head and they was able to communicate to me what was going on, and their little eyes would light up, and the realization that they were telling me what they were thinking. And it's so exciting to see all of that developing, isn't it? So I want us to encourage us this morning, as we develop our purpose in life, don't bite off something more than you can chew. All right? Don't purpose to conquer the world when you don't even have your bedroom in order. Okay? Don't set out to make some mark in society when you've got a real issue, behavioral problems yourself. You see, let's start out where, let's allow our purpose to develop too. If you feel bored, this is a kind of a test this morning in this respect. If you feel bored, you probably don't have purpose. If you feel like, well, I don't know, it's just time is going on and you keep looking at, I'm bored. You think that, you say that, you feel that, you probably need to work on your purpose. Yes. Begin by having a purpose for your free time today. Don't try to figure out a purpose for the rest of your life. Let's start out by having a purpose for today. And tomorrow, let's have a purpose when we get up. Now, what is it that I need would be at an advantage? What's my purpose for today? And start thinking, what is it that I want to try to end the day realizing that I had a purpose in? And I hope that includes some time of devotion, of reading and praying. I hope that's part of your purpose. But there's also something else you could purpose. You know, when you're faced with something, I drove by somebody's house the other day. I was not in Webb City. I was in another place. I drove by, and somebody's garage door was open. And I'm glad my garage doors are closed. All right. But I drove by, and this garage door was open, and it looked like several yard sales had been carried in there, and just they were in piles, several, not just one. And it looked like just a path between the garage door and the door that went into the rest of the house. And I wonder sometimes if sometimes we look at life and we feel like somebody has opened the garage door and said, here's your purpose. Get this all cleaned out today. I mean, I want us to stop and realize that when we have a purpose, when we start developing a purpose in life, life can seem overwhelming. So start out with a purpose for today. Don't try to do something that's unrealistic, but set a purpose for today. and allow the purpose for that day to build on the purpose for the next day. Maybe it can run in conjunction. It can be something that overlaps and is a continuation. One purpose for today will lead to the purpose for tomorrow, you see. And as we develop a purpose for our free time for the day, and then maybe the week and the month and the year and on into the future, you see. Here's what I found. When we learn to cultivate purpose in our lives, there will be opportunities that open that we, today, we think is just unattainable. We don't think it's ever going to happen to us. But when we have a purpose for today, and we build on that for tomorrow and the next day, there's going to be some opportunities that open up. A purpose to be responsible with your time and become and not become entangled with mindless activities and entertainments will bring fulfillment in other dimensions as well. So when you purpose, I am not going to allow myself to be consumed and absorbed with some kind of mindless thing. It's nothing wrong with it so much, but there's no benefit, there's no purpose in it. And if I make a purpose, I'm not going to do that. Sometimes that's step one. And step two, many times, is now what I'm going to do. When I decided I'm not going to do this because it's just a waste, I'm not really benefiting, then what am I going to do? All right? Many, many have realized fulfillment in life by developing purpose. I'd like to read you a couple quotes. One of them is by Thomas Edison. You ever heard that name? He said, being busy does not always mean real work. The object of all work is production or accomplishment, and to either of these ends there must be forethought, system, planning, intelligence, and honest purpose, as well as perspiration and seeming to do is not doing. So if you're, have you ever known anybody that worked real hard at looking busy? You know, they really weren't busy, but every time somebody comes along, it was like, hold on just a minute. Now what was I doing? And they weren't doing anything. Have you ever picked up on someone like that? Well, you know, that's what he's talking about. Seeming to be busy is not doing. That's not it. But having a real purpose, a real objective. And then there's another man that I'd like to read a quote. His name was John F. Kennedy. And he said one time, efforts and courage are not enough without purpose and direction. You can be all fired up and ready to do something, but if you don't know what you're going to do, there's probably going to be a disaster happen of some sort. You can be ready to jump, but if you don't know where you're jumping, it might not be wise to jump, you see. I'd like for us to turn to the book of Psalms and notice in Psalm 17, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. Psalms chapter 17. And notice here, the psalmist says, hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. His prayer is not fake. That's what he's saying. Listen, Lord, to what I'm praying because I mean it. And purpose has real meaning to it, real depth to it. It's not feigned. It's not fake. Purpose is something that gives us real definite direction. And he says here, let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. The Lord said through the scripture to us in another place that he knows the thoughts and intents of our heart, doesn't he? He says, thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I'm clean. You know, it's important for us to purpose not to do something that could be a distraction to us. But now notice what he says. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. You know, that can be a big purpose in itself. David says, I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Have you ever decided, I purpose today not to say whatever that word is? I have been reprimanded in my life by more than one person about a word that I used. My mother gave me instruction. Other people have given me instructions and says, you know, that doesn't sound good. you need to be thinking about what you're saying. And it was a particular word, not the same one, but in different occasions in my life, I've been challenged that the words I used was not edifying and not appropriate. And you know how big a challenge that is to make the purpose, I won't do that anymore. I won't say that word anymore. I won't allow that into my vocabulary. That can be a pretty big purpose to set. But our mouth is just one thing. It's just one thing. It's easy to transgress with our mouth when we don't have a purpose. We've all known people that just seems to say the first thing that pops into their head. And they don't ever think about what the repercussions is, or how it would feel like if somebody said that to them. You know, it's a real valid purpose to not transgress with our mouth. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12. In 13, he says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make also a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Many times the way to escape temptation is having a purpose. Lord, today I'm not going to transgress with my mouth. Today, Lord, I purpose to not transgress with my hands, with my ears, the things that I listen to. Lord, I purpose today to not transgress with what I think on. You know, he knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. And I'm just as susceptible as any other man of allowing my mind to wander in areas that I shouldn't. And when we say, Lord, you know my heart. You know my prayer. You know I'm not faking it. I purpose today not to think those kind of thoughts. You know, that gives us some real direction. That'll help us gain. And I'm going to tell you, when we start having purposes like that, he will make a way for us to escape the temptation. The temptations are common to me. You know, you think sometimes that you're some kind of, you're special. You're all by yourself. You're unique. You know, things that are rare means there was only one of them made. Talked to a man yesterday. My family was in Brahms there in Carthage, and I was sitting there eating our food, and I glanced over at this older man, and I thought, you know what, he looks a little bit familiar. And he got ready to leave, and Anita said, is that somebody we knew in Vanita? And I said, I think you're right. And he just about got to his car, and she says, you need to run out there and speak to him. So I jumped up from the table and I run out there to talk to him. And you know, I don't know, probably been 12 years since I seen him, and we both changed a little bit. So I began to talk to him a little, and oh yeah, there was somebody that moved from Bonita over. I said, that's me. Oh, well, he was glad I come and talk to him. But he had something that he was really rare. He was a man that owned one of four ever produced 66 GT350 Shelby convertibles. And he sold it about 2 years ago for over $1 million. I know this man. Now that's rare. You know, the devil wants you to feel like, I'm the only one that ever has this temptation. This is so rare, nobody understands. But I'm going to tell you what, you're just like me. We all face those things. And we'll fall prey to them if we don't have purpose. We'll fall to them. We'll feel like, I've got this unique problem, you know. When I don't have something going on, my mind drifts off in this area over here, and I know that I'm the only one that suffers from that. Wrong. You're not. You're not one of four. You're one of however many billion is in this world. That's what you are. And with a purpose, you can rise above that. But you got to be like David. You got to say, Lord, look at my lips. I'm not faking it. This is real. I mean it. I want to have the purpose. And I want to gain the victory. And when we got a purpose, one little purpose, you see. David said, I purpose not to transgress with my mouth. Well, that's just a small portion of it. But dear ones, if we will be purposed not to transgress with our mouth, then the Lord will come along and inspire us to not transgress with our ears. And then He'll be coming along and saying, you know, those things you've been thinking about are not like me. And we'll say, Lord, you know what my prayers are. And you know I'm sincere. I purpose not to think about those things anymore. And when I do, I'm going to start thinking about you. I purpose to drown it out with something that's inspirational. I'll make that purpose. You know, the Lord will help you escape those temptations. And one purpose will lead to another purpose, and that'll lead to something else. And before you realize, your life has a long-term purpose in it. And it's full, and the whole thing of being bored is like, I can't relate. I don't know what you're talking about. My life is full. Why? Because I have purpose. Hebrews 12:1. What does he say there? We've been compassed by all kinds of witnesses or something like that. Isn't that how it starts out? Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Lord, I want to win the race. I want to get the prize at the end. And how do I get there? Many times the devil comes along and says, well, that's a pretty big purpose. You want to make heaven? That's kind of like cleaning out that garage that's had 20 years of accumulation of just dropping it as you're going in the back door. And stuff has a tendency to kind of settle in and accumulate, and you try unstacking it and restacking it, and it won't all fit. And many times that's what life looks like. That's what the failures looks like in our life. And many times we think, Lord, that thing is all settled in, and I'm afraid to disturb it. I'm afraid to have a purpose of cleaning up my life and cleaning up this and that. And so I'm afraid to start. And that's the devil. He's the one that's saying, you're one of four. You are really, really rare. No, you're just like everybody else. And if you'll set up, Lord, today, I'm purpose not to transgress with my mouth. And you get the victory over that, and the Lord says, you know, you're doing pretty good. Now, how about a purpose to not transgress with your ears, or your mind, or your feet, or your hands? And before you know it, it's all cleaned up. And you look back and you say, there is real meaning in my life, and I'm not carrying around a bunch of baggage and rubbish anymore, but there's purpose in my life. Now, I'd like for us to go to the book of Daniel, and I'd like for us to look in the first chapter. And, you know, the earlier we start out with purpose in our life, the better it'll be. The more pitfalls and junky garages we can avoid. In Daniel chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, he says, "And the king said and spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding, science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning in the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that in the end thereof they might stand before the king." Now the king had a purpose, didn't he? He had a plan in mind. And I don't know what you think, but when I read this, I'm thinking about the adjustments that had come to those that were carried off captive. Major adjustments in their life. And if anybody had a reason to be discouraged, if anybody had a reason to be despondent, these young men did. They had things taken away from them that could never be restored. Physical things. Never restored. Now, you know what happens when you're feeling down? Remember what we said earlier? You don't have a purpose? That's when the devil is most effective. These men were at a time of very probable discouragement. Most likely they were trying to make sense out of why were they God still allowing them to be alive. What are we here for? They didn't feel like they had a purpose, you see? And you may feel sometimes that things have happened to you and put your mind and your emotions and everything about your life in such an uproar that any purpose you had before has been thrown out the window. And you feel like, is it even worth starting over? We can be discouraged. We can be despondent. You know, if anybody had a right to feel despondent, these young men did. But I know that they're not the only four in the world. We all face these kind of things from time to time. We face losses. We lose our loved ones sometimes. We lose our, maybe something happens to us financially. Maybe in relationships with other people. And I want to tell you, from personal experience, I feel like my purpose has been stolen away sometimes. I feel like things have been snatched away from me. And I'm not trying to get you to look at me like one of these men, because I haven't faced what they face. But I know what it feels like to have my purpose sabotaged. And you do too. Because I know that I'm not some rare individual either. I'm just a human. So the king's plan was, I'm going to feed them the stuff that I eat. And in 3 years, I want them to come and be part of my inner circle here. Now among these were the children, sixth verse. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, don't we? A lot of us do. Unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah, Shadrach, and to Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Thereof he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, have you ever ate anything that you'd never been accustomed to eating, and you ate it out of courtesy for your host? You ever done that? Had a little boy at our house last weekend, and he wanted to eat the M&Ms out of the top, but he didn't want to eat the little thing that kind of looked like a nest made out of, I can't remember what it was. What was it?
Nuts and white
chocolate. And I don't remember what was down below, but it didn't look good to him at all. So he wanted to eat the M&Ms out of it. And I said, you need to try this. I don't like it. I said, you need to try it. So out of respect to me, he did. And he put a little piece in his mouth. Oh, it looked like it was terrible. I thought it tasted pretty good. But he acted like it tasted horrible. And just as soon as he swallowed it, he had to have a drink to kind of get the taste out of his mouth. And you know, sometimes we're faced with things that really are... we don't like to swallow them. We don't like the flavor in our mouth. But we've done it out of respect to someone else. And Daniel said, here it is. I've had all my purpose, all of my focus in life has been uproared, and now they want me to eat and drink things that I have never done before. And Daniel purposed in his heart not to do that. So it says, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? What about all the others that's going to eat this, and you're going to look like you're starving? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. A little pressure here. You know, you're asking me to stick my neck out, and I'm just not willing to do that. That's what Ashpenaz said. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Just give us vegetables and water. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, in the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat, as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So Daniel purposed. Was his purpose honorable? Yes, it was. Because it was God's purpose. And Daniel says, I cannot defile my... Lord, just as David said, Lord, you know my prayer. You know I'm not faking this. I purpose not to transgress with my mouth. I think he was talking about his words. Daniel was talking about what he was going to eat. Now I want us just to stop and think a minute or two of where that small purpose of Daniel and his three friends led them. Daniel purposed not to eat the meat or drink the wine, the meat that had been offered to idols. He purposed not to eat that. And he purposed not to drink the intoxicating liquors that the king wanted them to eat. And what did he get out of it?
Where did it lead him? What do you think getting a godly purpose for today will get you?
You think Daniel and his three friends would have been able to interpret a dream that nobody could even tell them if they had not purposed in their heart? Did you know that Daniel got the opportunity to be a king for 7 years while the king lost his mind and was out there eating grass like an ox? Do you know he interpreted multiple visions for the king? And not just that king, but the next king that came with the next empire. Did you know God blessed him with a rich, full life? And every time there was a change of leadership, Daniel always rose to the top. Because of why? There was a spirit of God in him. Because he purposed to live for the Lord and not defile himself. And every time they tried to throw him in the den of lions, they did throw him in the den of lions. Do you think he had had the opportunity to be in a den of lions and come out unscathed if he had not had a purpose? The three Hebrew children, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, would they have made it out of the fire if they hadn't started with a purpose to not defile themselves with the king's meat? And Daniel ended the book with a vision of the future, all the way down to the day and age that we live in today. And I'm going to tell you, this just kind of makes me tingle all over to think that this all happened because Daniel and his three friends purposed, I will not defile myself with the king's meat. I won't do it. And one purpose led to another purpose and another. Look at the opportunities. Look at the richness and the fullness of his life. Look at all of the others that went through the same thing that he went through, that ate of that stuff. And we don't know, even know their names. They weren't the only four that got carried down to Babylon. They weren't the only four. But they were the four that purposed in their heart to not defile themselves with the king's meat. And look at what God made out of them. Now you think today, oh, life is overwhelming. I don't know where to start. That's true. I don't either. But I know this much, that I can make a purpose for today. And I know when today is over, I can have a purpose for tomorrow. And when tomorrow's over, I can have a purpose for the next day. And before you know it, I can look ahead and have a purpose for the week and the month and the year. And before I realize it, there's going to be opportunities open. Why? Because I had a purpose to live for God. I started out that way. I set my course that way. I want to challenge us today. If you feel bored, if you don't feel that you have a purpose, if you feel like your purpose has been snatched away, let's get one. Don't try to get too big a one, but get one that fits. Get ones that the Lord will help you with today. And build on it. The Lord will bless you for it. And one of these days we'll be able to look down the behind side of our life and see how the Lord has blessed us and helped us. You pray for me.